I was just thinking and listening to those of us who have challenges, and challenges are part of our human existence, and how we approach those challenges is extremely important. And I was just thinking about or praying about what should I say to us? I didn't say to you, to us, and because we are in this together, because we are having our human challenges in there. They are part of probably the design of God, or whatever the case might be. But still, we challenge, and we are challenged on every hand when we look around our world and we see the challenges that are all around us. That we are faced with different kind of challenges and things that come to our attention, come to our hearts, across our TVs, across our radios, across our computers. Whatever case might be, we are challenged by those things, and those things some kind can be kind of disheartening to us, and sometime along the way we just need a word of cheer, just something that can come from God's word that can kind of give us fresh hope and give us fresh strength to journey until God said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And so those are things that we are faced with, and so we just want to knock them out. I'm asking a favor of you. Would you give me a little bit of latitude, a little bit of longitude, okay? Okay, because I sometimes may not stay true script. Okay, the way that the Spirit will lead me, sometimes I may kind of deviate. I have it all structured out here, but sometimes, God knows what we need more than I know what you need. Okay, so but we talked in a scripture that was already read from 1 Peter 1:1-7. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. That's an important thing. That's important. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. Just think about it. If nothing else resonates in your brain when you leave here today, just remember, don't lose your hope. Don't lose your focus. I'm sorry, I said hope. I think I talked about hope last time. But still, those encompassing. Don't lose your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. As we consider our lesson plan for today, Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, he was writing to those that are dispersed throughout the country and throughout the world at that particular time. But today, let us take a brief glimpse of Peter, the human author of this important epistle. Peter was a very impulsive, by nature, and somewhat self-seeking, and many times slow to grasp the spiritual truths. Yet he made the most profound truth, a statement, when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus, being so impressed with him, he said, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, gave you the wisdom, gave you the understanding, just to speak those words." And then Jesus said, "Peter, because of those words, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you," against the church. And I know that in this world that there are things that are always perhaps coming against the church, trying to destroy it as it did in that particular time. But because God said the gates of hell, the powers of hell will not be able to defeat the church because it's founded in Jesus Christ. And that's in Jesus, upon this rock, I will build my church, and we who are here are part of that church, whether we're here in this small setting, whether we're in those across the waters, where we might be, and who those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, they are the church that Jesus Christ gave birth to. The purpose of his writing can be found in verse 1. Having gotten a brief glimpse of Peter's life, having become the pillar of faith, He can now write to those who are losing their hope and their focus, or have lost their hope. The purpose of Peter's epistle was to be an ambassador of hope in a hostile world, designed to be beacons of hope to those who were facing persecution of their faith in Jesus Christ. That world then and now is little different by comparison. It is interesting to note Peter chose some special encouraging word for those displaced souls from their homeland. He said to them, "You are elected." I want you to qualify this. What that thing is. You are elected according to the foreknowledge that you are elected according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew that you were going to be. Through sanctified Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Simply put, Peter is saying to them, you are picked out to be picked on. Think about that. We are picked out to be picked on. Are chosen from all others to be a special people to me, Jesus Christ. I would like to liken the foregoing statement as an adoptive parent to adopt, designed to adopt and looking into. And they were looking into a little bassinet and say, this is the one. Have you ever seen a child being adopted? Say, this is the one. What I'm trying to get us to understand is that Jesus Christ has said that you are the one that I have adopted, I have chosen, I have elected you to be who you are. And I have given you the strength, and I've given you the power to do those things even in when you are at your weakest level. I've given you the strength to do those things and to achieve those things. Above all others around you, you are chosen. We are a chosen people that God has chosen. We are special to him. We are special. He did not come in this world just for the sake of coming in, but because we are special to him. And he's special to us. Why are those words to sink in our spirit? That he made our choice, that we chose, God chose us as an adopted parent will go to a nursery to choose a little child. He chose us to be. What Peter is saying to me is saying to God's people, you are the one I have chosen. Peter went on to further encourage them by telling them they are special people to God. He went on to say you are a chosen generation. A generation. Think about that. Generations. Multitudes. A generation of people that have put their trust in an unchanging God who loves us so dearly that he sent his son into the world to come as a babe in a manger. Come to redeem us. Come to give not only hope to Israel, but also to give hope to us as we are challenged with world situations all around us. In our homes, in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our church. We are challenged day by day, but God has given us the power, to be able to override those things and to go through those things, those challenging times. He said we are a chosen generation. Listen to what he said. Not only that, but you are royal priesthood. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Because Jesus Christ, he's King of Kings, and he has royal blood. And because we put our trust in him, we have royal blood flowing through our veins. Oh, hallelujah. Then he went on and said, we are priesthood. We are priests. Husband, you're a priest to your family. And wives, you're a priest to your home. You're a priest and priestess in your family. To your family. Just to know that you are God's chosen people. Then he went on to say that you should show. Then what he said, you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called us, chosen us. In spite of our adversities, we are challenged to stand. I admit that we can be challenged, that life can be challenging for us today. But we must hold on, and we must hold on, and we must press on. Press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Yes, this world gonna throw us some curves, some sliders, some fastballs, something God in this life going to throw us. But we must press on and face the challenge and not to lose our focus. What is our focus? To whom is our focus? It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him. That's our goal. That's our objective. Not this world system around us. Because this world that we're living in, it's going to pass away. It's going to fade away. It's going to go out of existence. But what we have in Jesus Christ will never go out of existence. Oh, that's something to shout about. That's something to praise about. Oh, God, today. I don't want to get, I kind of get excited, okay? When I start, sometimes I get, next in verse 3, we have a call to praise. Call to praise. That sometimes, too, can be challenging. To be able to muster the power to praise. In the midst of our life situation, it's difficult to praise. Let us take a fresh look at Peter. The one who was fragile, once was fragile, he's now a pillar of strength to the weak. Feeble, having said they were the elect of God, he went on to let them know that their suffering were not out of the knowledge of God, because he foreknew of it. Peter used some very interesting word to head verse 3. That word is blessed. That word simply means you to eulogize. But it also means to praise. To praise. When we as believers, as a child, as a child of God, can learn how to praise when we are going through adversity. Sometimes our praise are greater than the prayers that we can pray. When we can praise, in spite of. And that word is also a doxology. Word of praise to God to encourage them of their living. That living hope. Not a dead hope, but a living hope. Dead cannot do anything. But when we're living, we have a living hope, and that living hope is in Christ Jesus. Peter here, the contemplation of God's grace, calls Peter to break forth with praise to God. And he went on to say to them, based on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead, his design that they too can have that living hope while facing trials. Also to enlist them to praise when you have a downcast heart. And I've heard your stories this morning. I've listened to your stories this morning. As you unfold to me the things that are going on in your families, in your home. I've heard the stories. And I believe that that's why God designed this message, not only for you, but also for, me. Because he knew that today I was going to hear your stories today. And you needed something to be able to change your focus away from your circumstances. Because your circumstance can weigh you down and cause you to lose your focus, lose your hope. But I don't want you to lose your hope, my sister. I don't want you to lose your hope. Your hope. Your hope and your power is in Christ Jesus. He's a strong tower. Strong tower. A mighty God. Don't lose your focus. When you come to 2016, don't lose your focus. That's life. That's life. His design said, don't lose hope while facing trial. Don't lose hope. Yeah, I'm all for a belief that, I'm on the belief that a little bit of light in darkness is also a great light. A little bit of light. Just to break forth. Just the crease of light. Just the crease of light. If you can just see the crease of light in a dark situation, that can be a great light to light you on your pathway, to help you to get through your life's journey situation that come as weights on your shoulders, pressing us down. But lift your head and we can be lifted up. You live, and you gates of heaven. And lift up you like gates of heaven. How does heaven God's come? Be lifted up, you gates of heaven. I'm sorry, I had it in my mind, but it didn't fall out. But you know what I'm saying. Get to be lifted up. Just be encouraged. In the world, we will now live so much that claim our attention today, which caused much despair. But I'm glad that Jesus gave this assurance of his disciples, to his disciples, as well as us today, can be found in St. John 16:33. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But listen what he said there. He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. See, sometimes you have to cheer yourself up. Sometimes you have to pat yourself on the back and just say, hold on. Be of good cheer. Listen to what he said. He didn't say that you have. He said, but I have overcome the world. That which let me know that there is attached to that, there is a duration attached to our circumstances. It's not going to last always.
Trouble not going to last always. Heartache's not going to last always. Problems are not going to last always. Duration. And I'm glad that God had enough wisdom to put a duration on it. Otherwise, we would not have any hope. Aren't you glad that God put a duration on our circumstances? He put a duration on our illnesses. He put a duration on our heart's condition. He put a duration on everything that we face. He put a duration on. So we know that there's an end going to come to us some sort of way. We may not understand when and where, but it's going to come. Just hold on to God's unchanging name. Oh, God, today. Yes. That should bring praises to our lips. That there, a change is going to come. A duration be put to it, attached to it. It's not going to be always. Not going to be always. But somewhere down the line, God has set a time, a place for our life situations. And verse 4. Believers' inheritance. According to the study of our lesson plan, the people of God of that day, they had lost their possessions because of persecution. Because of persecution. Now they were nomads, wandering from place to place because of their faith in Jesus Christ. He said to them, the home you have now is nothing to be compared to your heavenly home, your heavenly dwelling. Though it be dear to your heart. But I want you to turn your attention beyond these earthly possessions. They have earthly values. They can be consumed by calamities of this world condition. But I want to point you beyond that which is mundane to that which is heavenly that passes not away. Peter went on to say to them, your Christian inheritance cannot be destroyed by hostile forces. Listen to that. Cannot be destroyed by hostile forces. And will not be spoiled as an overripe fruit, but where I want you to focus, that I have eternal primacy attached. I have primacy attached to your eternal destiny. This is temporary down here. But when we cross from here to there, there is primacy attached to it. There is a knowing in and attached to it. Did you understand that? There's no ending to it. Down here, temporary. Up there, over yonder, wherever it might be, there is no ending to it. That is eternal. Eternal. Nothing can separate you from that. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can take your joy. Nothing can take your peace. Nothing can take your hope. Nothing can take it. Because it's permanent. It is permanent in Jesus Christ. It is permanent, saints of God. It is permanent. Because it's attached to Jesus Christ in his word. Oh, God, today. Oh, God, today. If we don't get anything today, out of this, I want you to hold on to your focus. Hold on to your faith. Oh, God, today. Yes. It can never perish. They could take courage in their assurance, word of God. As we can today, we can put our trust in an unchanging God. who said in Hebrews 3:13-5, I the God, I the creator of this universe, I the one who came in this world to die for your sin, I will never leave you. No. Will I forsake you? Friends and loved ones may turn and walk away from you. Death may separate us from our loved one. But Jesus said, I will never leave you in this day, not in the world to come. Not in the world to come. You could put a period behind that. Not an explanation, not a colon, not a comma. You can put a period behind that. Because his word stands true. Ask, Lord. And then he went on to say in Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Sometimes we can get so trapped in this world environment that we fail to change our focus. But I want our focus from now on. As Colossians, set your affection. Set it. Set your aim. Set your goals. Set your objectives on things that are not present. Set your affection not on things that have potential to perish. But set them on those things that are unperishable. 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 And I can rightly say amen to that. You may not, but I can. I can rightly say amen to that. Faith tested by storms. Verse 7. Faith tested by storms. Sense of God, storms going to come in our lives. They don't come. They may be irregular. They may be regular. They're going to come. Somewhere down the line, sooner or later, they're going to come. As we begin to close, having said in verse 6, kind of go back. I know how you feel. Peter said, I know you feel. I know your manifold temptation. And the heaviness of your struggles are not unnoticed by God. Peter saying to the people of God, the testing of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory of his appearance of Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying here is that gold itself seemed to be indestructible. Indestructible. But when what I'm trying to draw upon here, Peter is trying to draw upon the fact that even though how precious that it might be, you could take a small piece of gold by the size of a ring and you could stretch it for about 25 or 30 feet when it's melted and stretched out. And it seemed as imperishable. But even compared to heaven and the thing that we're going to receive there, the gold, it has no eternal duration. But only what we do for Christ. I like to qualify that sometimes. What we do for Christ, what we do for Christ will last. But I want to say, only what Christ does for us will last. That's the last. That's the last. Let us look more closer to what testing is. Testing is to refine or purify one's faith. It's designed to purify one's faith. sometime our faith can become weak. Sometime. Because of we as being human, not divine, but human, our faith can be tested. But what God wants to do is to refine our faith. What for? Through the testing that we are going through in life, it gives us a stronger root, grounded, base faith. Because days going to bring about some challenges. Some challenges. Not only does it appear by faith, trials prove the reality of our faith. The reality. Sometimes we say, my faith is real. My faith is strong. But don't fool yourself. Sometime life challenges can bring us to a faith where our faith can become weak. But I'm under conviction that when we're at our greatest weakness, we add our greatest strength. When we can bow down above our knees and begin to focus our attention beyond to the heaven wall toward the throne room of God. When we become our greatest strength, and when we can bow down and focus our toast mind, our whole purpose towards an unchanging God who has the power to bring about change in our situation. Paul said, trust God. Pray. Without season. Oh God, let me get ready to close. Oh. I can't help you without first helping myself. I gotta first believe it. I gotta first trust it. I gotta be the first student. I gotta be the first student of what I must learn before I can pass it on. Oh, God. In other words, though it be precious to us on earth, it will be valueless in the marketplace of eternity. Saints of God, there is no shortcut to maturity. But we hold out to the end. Our heavenly war will be weighed out with the world value system. If I may leave you with a fine encouraging word, don't lose your focus. That's why God sent his only begotten son into the world, a sin's cursed world, a virgin who was born in Bethlehem to give all humanity the opportunity to accept that which he did, there in a manger, as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, give to those who put have no hope, and he not give hope. He not only give hope to hope, he give the assurance to those who put that trust in unchanging God. A never ending home with him in endless eternity with him. May God ever bless, God bless the flow on you. Not only for the Christmas season, but throughout the year. May God bless and be upon you all the year through. God bless you. God bless you. May God ever keep you. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. Stay focused. Stay focused.